Today I would like to discuss with you the letter Hey. Okay, we're up to the letter Hey. No, yesterday was Ayin. Yesterday we learned about the 70, all the 70s.
He just woke up.
Today is the letter Hey. Okay, the first thing, let's run through some introductory ideas relating to the letter Hey. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chaim. Hashem created man by blowing wind. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chaim, a breath of life into his nostrils. And vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chay. The pasuk includes man became a living creature. The Targum translates these words. Famous Targum, l'ruach mimala, a creature that speaks. So the first thing we have to know about the letter Pei is Pei is the word Peh. Pei, the way you spell out Pei, it represents the mouth. And much of the drush, probably 90% of the drush that relates to the word Peh, relates to this idea of the Peh. And the Peh, the koyach of a human being, there is doimim, tsoimeach, chai, medaber. Man is the highest form of creation because man speaks. It's obviously the intellect, but the intellect is expressed through the peh, through the pei. So we see that the pei is not a simple letter in the fact that the pei does bring out the crown of creation. The crown of creation is man, and man's koyach is the koyach of dibor, ruach memalala, and that entire concept is all captured in the letter pei, the number in the number pei. Okay, there are many mitzvot. These are just introductory remarks, just to get us into the spirit of the letter Pei. There are many mitzvot in the Torah that require speech. Talmud Torah, v'dibartem bon. We have the mitzvah of Zohar coming up soon. Parshas Shabbos Zohar. You have to actually say the words. There's no text. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah involves speech. The mitzvah of Zohar is Yema Shabbos Lekadosho, to remember Shabbos requires us to say Kiddush, to make a bracha. The mitzvah of Zechiras Mechias Amalek requires us to speak, requires us to learn from the Torah. Many mitzvahs do require speech. We know that an Ovel cannot speak. The Avel has nothing what to say. Vayidoim Aaron. That's why it's the minhag for an Avelim to eat eggs and lentils. That's how the Mechora came all about. That Yaakov prepared lentils, was preparing lentils for the base Avel. On that day, Avraham Avinu died. Esav came back from the field. He was hungry. He wanted the Adashim. Why was he preparing Adashim? Because the minhag going back, dating back, it's an incredible minhag. How many minhagim do we have dating back to the time of the Avos? That Yaakov Avinu was preparing Adashim lentils. And I think with impartial, they say, why lentils? Because lentils have no peh. They are round. Anything which is round does not have a peh. There is no opening. And if there is no opening, that is symbolic of mourning. And there's nothing you can say about mourning. Mourning is something where we have nothing to say. Vayidoim Aaron. It's interesting that peh comes after the two letters that we discussed, Samach and the Ayin. The Samach is perfectly round, has no peh. And the Ayin we discussed yesterday in Ksav Ivri, the Ayin is a circle. The letters Samach Ayin go together. They both represent the concept of an absence of a peh. There is no opening. There is no Pesach in the Samach and in the Ayin. And then when you come to the letter Pei, all of a sudden, now we finally, after you know, you have to learn how to not to speak before you can speak. Before you speak, it's a good idea to think and keep your mouth shut until you're ready to speak. So you have a double dosage of letters where there is no opening, Samach, and then the Ayin, which in Ksav Ivri is a circle, then you finally can come to the Peh. And in the Peh, we also have the Peh, Pasuach, Pesosim. There's an end Peh and an open Peh, which the Gemara, Masech HaShabbos, and Daf Kuftal, the famous one that discussed, those of the Yalbis, tells us, there's a Pesosim, a Peh Pasuach. There are times when you should open your mouth, and there are times when you should close your mouth. When should you open your mouth? When you're speaking Teras Nigla, but when you're learning Teras HaNistar, Kabbalah, Maisa Merkava, it's the Gemara. The Gemara says, these things, it's not their cheretz to be megal to give shiurim on Maisa Merkava. If you ever see someone advertised in the newspaper, come, we're having a shiur, the Maisa Merkava, you know you're in trouble. You know that's not what's meant to be done. Okay, you have many psukim in the Torah. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Mi sam pel la'adam anochi." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to describe his koyach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell Moshe, there's nothing I cannot do. Do not be afraid to take upon this mission. Hashem says, "Mi sam pel la'adam anochi." I am the one that made. Hashem praises himself in the fact that he describes that Hashem has created the peh in man. Okay, another quick idea in Eicha. We all know this Chazal in Eicha. All the Prakim in Eicha are written according to us of the Aleph Beis, and most of the Prakim, with the exception of the first, there is something which is unusual, that the Pei comes before the Ayin. The only exception is the first Parak, where the order is correct, where first comes the Ayin, then comes the Pei, but all the other Prakim, we have the Pei coming before, and the Chazal tell us it's because that the story of Eicha is a parallel to the story of the Meraglim. And the Meraglim, they said with their mouths things that they did not see with their eyes. The peh came before the mouth. Before they even left to spy on the land, they already decided what they're planning to say before they actually would see anything with their eyes. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk about the idea of refuah. Okay, there are two different types of peh. Hashem said, "I will speak to you peh al peh," the highest form of speech communication. Okay, I don't know what this means. These are all these just throwing out different ideas. I have one big thing I want to come to that, which I want to dwell on. Before we get to that big idea, we'll throw out these ideas peh al peh darbo. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe. It's called peh al peh. It's the highest form of communication is peh al peh. We have Yishakeni Minishikos Pihu. Such a concept of a kiss is Mipeh El Peh. It appears that that's the way of, in ancient times. Today it's not the proper thing to do, obviously, but in ancient times that's how parents would kiss their children. When it says in the Torah that someone kissed another person, I remember reading a Dvar Torah on this in the ancient times, where Yaakov Avinu kissed Yosef, kissed Yaakov, except where it says on the neck, Bochal Tzavarav. Anytime it says in the Torah that there was a kiss, it was a kiss peh el peh. Not a kiss on the cheek, not a kiss on the hand. The way a kiss is defined in the Torah, in Tanakh, in Chumash, is peh el peh. Yeah.
So peh el peh is a higher form of communication that, let's say, panim el panim.
Correct.
You have this concept.
Correct. Panim, correct. Panim. Correct. A kiss, a peh al peh, represents the ultimate chibur of the neshama. You say a person, your soulmate. Nafshoi kishura binafsho. Because in the peh, vayipach be'ap of nishmas chayim, vayihi adam l'ruach mimalila. Where is the ruach chayim expressed? Where is it sensed? It's sensed in the peh. Hashem blew the spirit of life into the nostrils, and now a person became alive. And how does the Torah tell us a man became alive? Through the peh. So in two people, when there is a kiss, peh al peh, this is a kesher of the neshamos. Because in the peh is the ruach memalala, which is the trickle down effect of the mitzias of the neshama in this world. That's in the peh. So the two pehs come together. These two neshamos are being makasha with one and another. Yeah.
When you met Esau, it says Vayishokei, when there's dots on the top of the word.
Because he
didn't kiss him properly. He did it half-heartedly.
Half hardly, and his teeth fell, right? Yeah. It's what happened there. He
it's a teeth bone.
Well, yeah.
He bit him.
That's what I'm saying.
He bit him. Okay, so in a chanani. But this, we should be aware that when you have in Tanakh, often in Tanakh you have ideas where there's kissing. It doesn't mean like today, a polite kiss on the cheek or on the hand or a make believe kiss. Today, don't even kiss. Today, you just make believe, right? You just turn.
Yeah.
You have to know how to do it the right way. You have to know how to do it the right way. You go to a simple, you go to a vart. Right, today we're very sensitive to hygiene and all because of isthmus, so you got to be very strategic. That's a modern minug. Svardim, that's a modern thing. You kiss the hand, or you don't even kiss their hand, you kiss your own hand. You just shake their hand and you kiss your hand. Or even the Sefer Torah, you kiss your hand, you blow a kiss. Okay, these are all modern, these are modern conventions. These are things that have been adopted today for various reasons. Some are very obvious. But in Tanakh, we're dealing with a very pure type of world. Kiss means pe el pe yishokeni minashikos piu pasuk and shirashirim. What more can you possibly want? Yeah.
He was against it because he said he's treated like a god.
Yeah. Arpa. Oh. Batishak arpa lechamoisa. Different types of kisses. Every kiss between two people is considered an indecency, meaningless sensual pleasure, except for three categories that convey mutual love. The kiss of homage, kissing the hand of a great person, gesture of respect, and kiss of reunion. Okay, but it doesn't talk about what kind of kiss. Okay, the different types, like Tishak Arpa Lachamoisa. How did Arpa kiss her mother-in-law? Did she kiss her on the hands? One example, we have a kiss. Did she kiss her on the cheek? Did she kiss her on the mouth? So according to most of the Mefarshim, whenever it says in the word Torah Tanakh, kissing, it means peh el peh. They weren't so sensitive to germs and all these other type of things which people associate today with kissing. It was a different, very pure world.
Katz from John Hopkins, something, and there you throw back the lectures there.
Yeah.
Said it developed only because in the 11th they were forced to follow Catholic rules, and it was synonymous. They adopted the Christian minute when they kissed the ring of the Pope or the Cardinal.
Uh-huh. Oh,
that's where
into the hand.
Took to kissing the hand of the Cardinal. It's not a Jewish custom. It's
wow.
Avigdor Miller's
Atzal. Other things that are brought to a lot of research.
Avigdor Miller's Atzal, you suppose, had the way because when the Sfardim is not trying to kiss the hand because it says, treats me like a god.
A god. Okay, let's go further. There are two different, we all know, there are, the pay is beget kefes. It's one of the letters which can have a dogish and minig ashkenaz. Minig ashkenaz, we differentiate between the fey and the pay. Now, we're one example of this idea, the connotation of Jewish, that with the difference between the fey and the pay is in the refuah. In the Torah, the word refuah is always spent with a pay roughly, without a dot. In reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rifa'enu Hashem Ve'ei Rafei. This is a pasuk. We say this in the Rifa'enu, in the Bracha Rafei, but it really comes from a pasuk. It's a pasuk. Rifa'enu Hashem Ve'ei Rafei. It's spelled roughly. The dot is missing. But yet, in Parshas Mishpatim, it says, Ve'rapo Yirapei. This is a famous verse. So why is that when it comes to human healing, when you go to a doctor, and the doctor is always, every time there's human healing, it is always spelled with a dot? And every time in Tanakh where the healing comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, this week, let's parasha. So there's a fey. Why every time when we refer to healing that comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu with a hey, with a pay roughly? Because when Hashem heals, there's no side effects. It's light. It's a permanent healing. It's a healing which is pleasant. There's no needles. There is no side effects. There's no harshness. When a person, Rachman al-Son, has to go to a doctor and the doctor has to give refuah, it always comes with a harshness. When there's a dot, it has a connotation of harshness, of uncomfortable, of something uncomfortable. There are side effects, there are difficulties, and that's this differentiation between human healing and the healing that comes through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's expressed in the difference between the fey and the pay. Okay, there are also other interpretations. I just say rapo yirapei. You need a doctor from the doctor. The side effects the doctor puts. You need to be healed from the doctor. If the doctor does not do what he's supposed to do, if he does what he's supposed to do, he cures the main ailment. But then you need to be healed from the side effects of rapo yirapei. You need a refuah from the refuah. That concept is only when it comes to a doctor, human being, not when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
All these drugs that you see advertised with 2 minutes of side effects is glamorous.
Side effect is death.
Yeah.
It actually says that.
Right.
Side effect... possible death. That's a side effect of the medicine.
Side effects.
This will be the next drug you have to take.
Someone show me a medicine for depression. Side effect depression. The whole purpose of
side effect suicide.
Right. Well, that's suicide. So what's the purpose? What's the purpose of the medicine if the side effect is worse than the... Okay, it's not a joke. Okay, now let's go to something a little bit deeper. Okay, let's go... Okay, one more light var, then we'll go something a little deeper. Is Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Klal Yishonu, the one that would say... Pakod Yifkot, the double expression of Pekid will be the Goyel. What's the big deal? Anyone can say Pakod Yifkot. Moshe was the Kivad Peh. Moshe could not say the letter Peh. So the Moshe to say Pakod Yifkot was a Nes. It was a Simon HaShemayim that Moshe Rabbeinu was indeed the Goyel. He was the real Goyel. There is no page. I'm speaking, you just listen. There is no page. I'm not reading from any text. Okay, let's go. This idea I like very much. I'm about to tell you is Peh. Today we're up to the letter Peh, and Peh is the 17th letter of the Aleph Beis. Number 17 is associated with the concept of Tov, right? Tov. So Peh and Tes are related. What is the simplest sound you can possibly make? That is the sound we make on... We spoke about this with the letter Tes, is the shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar. We produce a sound. And when we actually use the sound, we use an instrument to produce that sound. What is the sound of the shofar? Tes. Tut. Tut. The Gemara actually says the sound. The Gemara talks about blowing the shofar. You make the sound called tut. How do you spell tut? Tes. Vav Tes. The sound of a shofar is the sound of Tes. When you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, you're blowing the sound Tes. Everything that you blow, everything that you do on Rosh Hashanah is all the number 9. We spoke about the number 9. There are 9 brachos in the Musaf. There are 9 truos. All of the sounds of the shofar are in series of 9s. Everything about Rosh Hashanah is all about the number 9, including the actual sound. When you listen to the sound of the shofar, you're hearing the letter Tes. That goes very well with the concept of Peh. Peh, the mouth, produces sound. What is the simplest, purest sound that you want to produce? You want to produce the sound Tes. That is why the Peh is the 17th letter. Because the 17th is Begematria Tov, and Tes, Tov, is captured in the letter Tes. The first time it says letter Tes in Torah is in connection with the letter word Tov. And indeed, what are you sounding? When you blow Tes, you're really blowing Tov. Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa vihinei Tov me'od, tekiya gedola. What's the gedola? Tov me'od. It's Hayayim Harasa. Lem Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of the world, and that's what we're always blowing. Ki tov, ki tov, ki tov, ki tov. We're always blowing letter Tes because we're always producing the letter Tes, which is Tov. And where does that Tov come from? From the Peh. The Peh is number 17. 17 is Bigamatria Tov. Tov is Tes. So these two ideas go hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. Peh, letter Peh, is part of the letter Tes because the Peh produces Tes, produces Tov. That I think is a good var from the Bet of Erlach, from the letters of the Alabes. Okay, now let's go to something really deep. This thing I have enormous pleasure from. This idea. Now, I want to present. I've seen the basic Yesod comes from Rabbi Ginsburg's Sefer. I always the name I think called the Sacred Letters. I believe that's the title of the book, The Sacred Letters, by Rabbi Ginsburg. He is the Lubavitcher Chassid. That's one of the 4 from that I used to pay the share, and he has there something which blew my mind. Let me read to you a pasuk in Sefer Melachim. Now, let me read to you a pasuk in Tehillim. First pasuk in Tehillim, Yimei Shino Sein Bohem Shivim Shana, Vim Bigvuros Shmonim Shana. There's a concept of living 70 years, and there's a concept of living 80 years. A person lives 70 years, that's what's supposed to be. A person lives, Yimei Shino Sein Bohem, the amount of years we live in this world is Shivim Shana. And if you zoicha to 80 years, whoo, Gevurot. Gevurot. Vim, 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 so what do we extract from this? the concept of Gevura is captured in 80. In Pei. Pei is the numerical value of 80. Okay. Now let me read you a pasuk in Sefer Melachim. This pasuk opens up a whole new world. It's an incredible pasuk. Single pasuk. We're describing Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech became Melech of the world. Ish tachas kafnai. The world is a world of bliss. Everything is perfect. And he's building the Beis HaMikdash. He gets Hiram involved in the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk there out of nowhere says the following. It says, let me find the pasuk. I thought I had it right here. I know I have it here. Just give me 1 second. Okay, here it is. Vayihi l'Shlomo shivim elef nosei sabo. Shlomo HaMelech had 70,000 people that carried burdens. They were carrying large stones to the Beis HaMikdash for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. 70,000 slaves. The Mefarshim said Nesinim, other people that were assigned the task of carrying loads, heavy weights, stones. Ushmoinim elef, 80,000 chaytsev bohem, quarriers. 80,000 people chaytsev bohem to quarry the stones. It's 70,000 people to carry the stones, and 80,000 people working on the mountains. You ever drive on the highway in upstate and you see those big mountains and they slice right through? You always wonder how in the world they slice through these massive chunks of mountain. So today, dynamite, no big deal, okay? No big deal today. Battery tunnel. Don't you always wonder how in the world do they carve out this massive tunnel underneath the river? How do they do this? Dynamite! Well, in the olden days, there was no dynamite. And how do they do it? They took a hammer. Can you imagine quarrying these massive mountains? 80,000 people sitting the whole day. Bang, 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 bang. How fortunate we are today. We have technology. But 80,000. What is going on here? What's going on here? This has to be significance. This is not just stamma numbers. 70,000 people carry heavy loads, 80,000 people quarrying stone for mountains. There's something very deep here. Let me open up this idea with another pasuk that Rabbi Ginsburg quotes to explain the significance of this pasuk, which will take us back to understanding what Gevura is all about and open up a whole new world in understanding what the number 80 represents. Yeshaya, famous pasuk. Shaya Perik Nun Aleph, the very beginning of Perik Nun Aleph. Shimu Elai Rodfei Tzedek Bevaksha Hashem Habitu. Hashem says, I want you, my children, Klal Yisrael, to look at your forefathers. Habitu El Tzur Hutzavtem. Look at the rock from which you were hewn. V'yel makeves bor nukartem, and from the stone, the pit. This is another expression which means from a bedrock. Makeves bor, I guess you would translate that as bor would mean the bedrock. Makeves means the hole of the bedrock, nukartem, which you were quarried. In other words, look where you come from. Where do you people come from? So Pasuk Beis, according to the Mefarshim, elaborates. Okay, we're not going to go through all the details of the Pasuk because we're not going to run out of time. But Pasuk Beis elaborates, what does this mean, the rock from where you've been, this poetic repetition, the rock which you've been quarried, the Makeves Bar, the hole of the pit which Nukartem, which is the same thing as Chutzavtem. Pasuk Beis elaborates, Habitu El Avraham Avichem. Look at your forefather Avraham. The El Sorah Ticholelchem, and from Sarah, chol means the whole. Sarah is the woman from whom you have been extracted from whom you've come from. Sarah carried, she was pregnant with Yitzchak. She was the one that produced Yitzchak. From Yitzchak comes Yaakov and comes Klal Yisrael. Ki echod ki rasiv va'avarechei, I've called you one, va'avarechei va'avarechei, I've increased you and I've multiplied you. So what the Pasuk basically is saying, you put these two psukim together, Pasuk Alf Beis, and Mitzudas makes it clear as day, is we're basically comparing Avraham and Sarah, or really more precisely Sarah, to a rock. Sarah was like the bedrock, and Avraham is the quarrier, And Avraham, by being married to Sarah, basically produced a Yitzchak. He went into Sarah and he quarried out a stone by causing Sarah to become pregnant, and then when she became pregnant, she gave birth. That is compared in this pasuk, the imagery of Yeshaya saying, it's ki'ilu, Avraham Avinu went to Sarah, he took a chisel, and he quarried out of her womb a stone, and that stone became Klal Yisrael.
And that's why we're chips off the old block.
Exactly, very good. Chips off. Very good. Excellent. It was kedai to come today just for this.
Just for this.
A chip off the old block. Okay, so this is very powerful imagery. Extremely powerful stuff here in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Aleph, Pasuk Aleph and Beis. This mashal of what is a child. What are parents? What are children? Children are rocks. They're stones that have been quarried by their parents. The parents are just a pile of stone, and one stone quarries out, the father quarries out of the mother a stone and produces a stone. Evan, by the way, means Evan is the contraction of Av Ubein. And I'm sure you all know Av Ubein. There are three letters in the word Evan. Aleph Beis is Av, and Beis Nun is Ben. So the three together, the Beis overlaps. Av Bein overlaps. And it really comes from this idea, this mashal of a child is being quarried from the mother. Okay, now, here we go to Rabbi Ginsburg. I assume Rabbi Ginsburg is taking a lot of this Torah from the Lubavitcher Torah. Lubavitcher Torah from the, all the, I don't know, the whole Yichas, all the various Lubavitcher Rebbes, going all the way back up to Shneur Zalman. He has a lot of the Torah is culled from their writings. And he says as follows. He says that Shivim, now with this idea we can understand a whole new idea, and we're going to elaborate upon this briefly in a moment, is that the number 70 represents man. It represents a person's private life. What you accomplish in this world. 80 represents your koyach to produce children. 80 represents the next generation. A person lives 70 years. He does what he's supposed to do in this world. He contributes. He is productive in this world. 80 means, not only have I contributed to this generation, I have done my part, I have given over, I have created a koyach in this world. I have created something which will be for the next generation. That's gevurah. Gevurah, might, what is power? Power is not just for now, it's for the next generation. To create something that is independent, that will continue into the next generation and contribute and participate and in turn go even a step further. Now we can go back and we can understand very clearly the mashal of Shlomo HaMelech. It's beautiful what he says. Vayihi l'Shlomo, Shlomo had 70,000 people that carried burdens. That means people, the number 70 represents you carry a burden. Every person was put in this world with a pekel. You have a burden. You have a tafkid. You carry a burden on your shoulders. You accomplish what you meant to accomplish. And he had also 80,000 choytzev bohem. 80 is the number where he had people which quarried new stones, created new objects for the future generations. And what is the marshal of a stone? Well, we know from Avraham and Sarah, the image, the marshal of quarrying stones is not for now, it's the concept of the next generation. The next generation, the choytzev bohem, the following generation. Now, let's go a step from that. This we have not done in the other letters, unfortunately, because I don't know how to do this, but there's a letter ches, the letter 8, and there is the letter of pei, 80. They're both related. Every one of these letters has a parallel. You have letter beis and chaf. That we spoke about. Bechor, all the doubles. Beis, chaf, resh. 2, 20, 200. Gimel. So the gimel will be lamed. There's always a connection between the single digit and the tens. So what's the parallel to the letter ches? The letter ches is the letter pei. Now let's discuss 8 and 80. Now let's discuss what is 8. Let's focus on this. I'm going to give you different angles to focus on. What is 8? So we learn 8. There are two concepts of 8. Number one is is lamala miderech hateva. That's the basic idea. Chanukah is 8, lamala miderech hateva. But then I told you this other idea that when the sifter, what is an 8? It's 2 zions in the Sefer Torah. Zion and Aval, 2 zions. What is 8? 8 is, it represents the concept of returning to the beginning, a new cycle. What is the 8th day of the week? Sunday. Ches represents teva, a circle. You return to where you've come from. You continue the cycle. The cycle continues. You come through the week, 7, Shabbos is over. Now we have to go through the cycle again. The number 8 represents what nature is all that. It's lamal miderech hateva, when you go up, when you go out of the atmosphere. But then it's also the concept of chazara, to repeat the cycle of nature once again. When a person has children, what is he doing? He is repeating the cycle of life. Ches is the chazara. In the quantum leap from ches to pei, what is ches? Quarry new stones. Quarry stones. Extract stones. Have children. 70 is your old private life. I've accomplished something in this world. There's a concept of make sure that you give over your koichos. You raise a new generation of children that will continue in your ways. Live another 10 years to guide the next generation. Because 80 represents the idea of of the quarry, children. Having children is where you repeat the cycle of life. I've done my thing. My life is complete. Now let's, children, go into the next cycle of life.
Maybe children, maybe grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Because a grandfather tends to have more warmth towards a grandchild than to a child.
That's only because he doesn't have to change the grandchild's diapers. The children have to change the diapers.
What? You already see the growth. Now you see not one generation, but the second and the third generation.
Someone told me that he loves grandchildren. Had he known how much he would love his grandchildren, he would have had them first, before the children. Okay, let's give another example. Another example. When we learned about the letter Ches, we spoke about this word called Chuppah. You go to a wedding, you go to the Chuppah. Okay, let's review what we learned. You go under the chuppah, there's the chas and kala, dressed in their finest. They'll never be dressed so nice. A nice gown, nice suit, fancy suit under the chuppah. What is chuppah? So we discussed, chuppah stands for, very good, ches po. The ches is here. What is the ches? So we discussed in the Lefidah Arizal, ches is the combination of a vav and a zayin. The vav represents the gashmias, and the zayin represents Shabbos ruchnias. Chos and kala is a mashal by chasidim, is the connection between ruchnias and gashmias. It's the synthesis of ruchnias and gashmias. Under the chuppah, ches chuppah is ches po. The ches is here. What's happening here, where the chosn and kala, where they're coming together, the union that's being formed, is really what is the letter ches. The ches, the combination, the arizal of a zayin and a vav. The zayin is ruchnias, representing the chosn, and the vav is gashmias, representing the kala. Maybe you want to tell me the other way around. However you want to do it. But it's there is such an idea, ches po. But go a step further. What is a chuppah? It's ches and pei. Because what's happening under the chuppah? We have here the ches, we have here the joining of the chosn and kala with the goal of pei. It's going to produce a new generation. It's going to produce gevuros. Gevura. Peros. What are the peros? The pei. The pei are the peros. The pei represents 80. In big gevuros shmonim shana, this idea of the chaytsev to quarry stones, chaytsev bohem to produce children. The chuppah is the combination, is the event. The moment of the chuppah is the ches, the chos and kala, that potential is here, pei, ches, pei, to go off the quantum leap from the potential to the actuality, to the bring out of the potential in producing a new generation which is called pei. give you another example to this idea. This is one of my favorite verloch, which you can say many times, many different applications. Every single day in davening, we say we have hakel, hagadol, hagibar, v'hanayra. The whole Shemoneh Esrei are four words: kel, gadol, gibar, v'hanayra. That's it. That's the whole Shemoneh Esrei. First, those four words. We then elaborate. Hashem is a kel. What is kel? There are many types of powers. Hashem is kel elyon. Don't make any mistake about it. When we said kel, Hashem is a kel elyon. When we said that Hashem is gadol, what does gadol mean? Gadol means to give. Barzilai ha-giladi ish gadol, when he supported the whole world. Gadol means to give. When we said Hashem is gadol, means goimel chasadim toivim v'konei hakol. The words of the Shemoneh Esrei are explaining what it means, gadol. Then it comes to gibar, gvura. What is gvura? V'zoicher chastei ovo. So I told you what it means. What is there gibar? Hakoivesh, the simple interpretation is hakoivesh es yitzro, restraint. Why does Hashem have restraint for us? We're not deserving. In Achnam, you're not. Hashem has rachmanis for your parents. V'zoicher chastei ovos. Hashem will hold back and not punish you. But on a deeper level, what is gevura? Gevura is the product, it's the new generation. It's the connection between the previous generation and the future generation. When parents have children, when two people join together and have children, they are producing gevura. Shivim Shana is your life. Vim b'gevura shmonim shana is to be chaytsev avonim, quarry stones, produce a new generation. So when you focus on gevura, gibor, where did this gibor come from? Where did the gibor? How did this gibor come into this world? A new generation. V'zoicher chastei avos. It's rooted in the previous generation. So another example where you see this idea of gevura connects to having children. Shiv Mishon is your life. Gevura is the next. Chupa ches po. Pei is the repeat of the cycle, just like Ches is the Chazora. It's the eighth day of the week. It's the Chazora on Teva. 80 is the next cycle of the world. And just like, and the other example of Zohar Chastei Avos, the Gvur, you're coming back to the Avos. Ches Po, you have the Ches and you have the Pei. These two ideas come together. So I've made an impression on me. I thought this is powerful stuff. To understand what it means, pay is gevura. Gevura means the next generation. Let me just finish very quickly. Some other very quickly. Quick. Yisodos. In the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, there is no pay. All the letters of the Aleph Beis. Will you believe it? In the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, don't trust me. Check it out. In the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, all the letters of the Aleph Beis appear except for the letter pay. Why? So some want to say because the first bracha is the source of Avraham Avinu. And we remind ourselves, Avraham Avinu, what was Avraham's biggest schos yakeh? It was a 10th Sayan. And Avraham could have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, he said to Kibi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. Why didn't he speak up? He had a muna. He kept his mouth shut. And that itself is the biggest schos. That Avraham Avinu closed his mouth, did not question Hashem for telling him to sacrifice Yitzchak, even though he said to him, Kibi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. That is the biggest schus. The biggest schus is that the pay is absent. So the first bracha is Kineged. The first bracha is Avram, the second is Yitzchak. Everyone knows the first bracha is Avram, the second is Yitzchak, the third is Yaakov. The first bracha is Avram Avinu. All the letters are there. Avram served Hashem in the ultimate form, and he even served Hashem with a tiny stibor. He didn't go and question Hashem's ways, and that's why the peh is not in the first bracha. Chazal did want to have a peh. They didn't want to lose out the peh, so they added the first pasuk. Hashem sefosai tiftachu fi agiti lasecha has three pays to make up for the missing pay in the bracha. So the introductory tefillah to the tefillah is a hashlama for. In Birchas Hamazon, this is a Jewish, I'm telling you a Jewish now, very quickly I said, that not everyone likes, so beware. Not everyone is so happy with this Jewish, but it's a Jewish with a very big capital D. In the Birchas Hamazon, the entire Birchas Hamazon, there's only one letter that's missing. The N pay, the pay sofis. All 27 letters appear in that Birchas Hamazon without the pay sofis. Why? So I once said to Jewish, because how do you finish the bracha of Asher Yotzar? Umafli la'asos. Pella. Hashem does wonders. He cleanses the body. When you eat and you recite Birchas Hamazon, you're not finished. The process of achila ain't over. It's over when the body digests the food and removes the waste. So we allude to the pei soifis is not in the Birchas Hamazon. The pei, there's a pei that comes at the end. It's not a pei soifis, a mafli, but it's a pei that comes at the end when you finish the process of digestion. When the food goes through the whole tract and Baruch Hashem, everything is good and the waste has been removed, that's really the hashlama of the Birchas Hamazon, and that's why the Baruch of Asher Yatzar ends with a pay, the pay that comes at the end, umafli la'asos. Okay, another idea. Eight, this is a simple idea. The ultimate tainus, we all know that the Svardim, they know what they're doing. They have something called a tainus dibur. Ashkenazim are totally, they lost out big time. It's unbelievable. We don't have anything called the tainus dibur. We don't have it in our custom. It's a pella. Why? You know, everything the Sodom do, we also do here and there. You know, we also do. We copy them. They copy us. The chassidim. You always can find some overlap. But they have something called tainus dibur, and I've heard from my Sephardi friends, there's nothing in the world like it. There's no greater discipline satisfaction in going a whole day, no talking. Can you imagine? No talking the whole day.
Tainus dibur.
That requires the ultimate gevura, restraint. Tainus dibur. What is pei? Pei is gevura, is 80. 80 is gevura. The ultimate, what is a gibor? Is there a gibor? We don't realize. We think the biggest yetzer is for nashim or for mammon. It's not true. The biggest yetzer is to speak, is to talk, to communicate. You see in this generation, Facebook, social media. You see, it's incredible. It's incredible. Outland technology didn't exist. Today, when the technology is there, communication, texting. It's incredible what the technology has enabled people to fulfill their desire to communicate with Koyach HaPeh, Koyach HaDibor. And to restrain, to hold back, not to communicate, requires incredible gevura. That's why pei and peh are related. Pei is 80, gevura. Gevura is defined in Perek as koyveshes yitzroy. The ultimate kevisha, koyveshes yitzroy, is not to have a Facebook account. I heard of Rabbi Shur. He was addressing about 750 people, and he said, I'm not chas v'sholem choshed anyone here has a Facebook account. I don't know. Okay. Let's go further. Let's go to the okay. A very quick word is, you know that in the Oysis Mischafos, that a pay is interchanged with a base, like hevker and hefker. Barzel, parzelah, a beis and a fei. In the pei, in the letter pei, the white part, the invisible part of a pei, in the Sekhsav Ashuris, is an invisible beis. So you see, even the way it's spelled, we do have a relationship. Okay, in Yeshayah, we learned in Daniel, there's a very unusual thing about the letter. So I think it's the only word, if I'm not mistaken, maybe, where you have one word that has the same one word. There's a big letter and a small letter. Okay, we have all over Tanakh words with big letters, small letters, but where do you have a word that in the same word itself, one letter is large and one letter is very small, and that appears in the word B'Shafrapa. I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly. It's there, Beidan Malka B'Shafrapa. That Daryovesh Hamadi, he threw Daniel into the Goyva Royals, into the lion's den, and he wanted to know what happened to him. Did he survive the night? He woke up Ba'alois HaShachar. A king normally wakes up 9 o'clock, very late. He woke up 6 o'clock that day to see if Daniel survived the night. And the word that Pasuk used, Bish Far Para. It's a very unusual word. He woke up early in the morning, Bishafar Para. There are two pays in that word. One pay is small, one pay is large. Why is one pay small, one pay is large? So one of the Midrashim said the reason why the pay is large, it took place the night of Pesach. This miracle that Daniel was thrown the Goyva Royals, pay, big pay, Pesach. Others say that really Daryovish Hamadi was very close to Daniel. He wanted to save his life, but he couldn't. He was trapped. Remember, we learned Daniel, there was a trick. and they wanted. He didn't have the koyach. They were trying. He didn't have a pischoyim peh to save Daniel. But now, when Daniel he miraculously was spared overnight, he was given a new mandate. Now people saw that the force is with Daniel, and now Dayavish has peh was open wide. So the first peh is small because until the miracle happened, he was unable. He was limited in what he can do. His executive powers were severely limited in what he can do to save Daniel. But now the miracle happened. His powers were expanded. He was granted this mandate to do and to have a pischoyim peh to save Daniel. That's one of the very important. It's a very important word. V'hatif hatsoim lo. Lo yosim, but Yaakov Avinu. The word vahatif means that the animals that delayed, animals that did not want to mate. Vahatif is a very unusual word. There were animals that wanted to mate, and there were animals that were not interested in mating. So Yaakov Avinu only put the stick with the speckle, with the dots, in front of the animals that were interested in mating. But the animals that were not interested in mating, he did not put the stick in front of them that they should be speckled. The word Vahatif is spelled with a very large pei soifis. The question is why? Now this touches upon a very big topic. Many of the large and small letters of the Torah, the reason why they're large, or especially when they're large, is not to make a mistake and read that it's a different letter. Classic example is Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. Why is there a large Dalet? So I'll show you 100 reasons why there's a large Dalet. The simplest reason why there's a large Dalet, forget all the Midrash, don't read it as a Resh. Ashrecha Yisrael Mi Kamoicha. There's a large Aleph. Why a large Aleph? Don't make a mistake and read an Ayin. Because Aleph and Ayin, they sound the same. Klal Yisrael, money is not everything. Don't make a mistake and think Ashrecha with an Ayin, Oysher. That's not what life is about. Ashrecha means you're fortunate. Ashrecha is an Aleph. So this idea is expressed primarily in this word of Vehatif. Because the Pei Soifis is very similar to a Nun Soifis. An Ennun. And if you would read Uvehatin, it means the time of birth, which then would have an entirely different interpretation of the pasuk. Yaakov has a stick, there are dots. He only put the dots in front of the animals that are not yet pregnant. But Uvehatin lo nosan, the animals that were pregnant and were in their ninth month or in the fifth month and ready to give birth, he did not put the stick in front of them. In order, you should not make a mistake between the pei and the nun. There is a large pei. It's with a hatif. Hatif means animals that are not interested in mating. They don't want to mate. They're not in the mood. They're not interested. And don't make a mistake with a hatin, which means they're pregnant. They're about to give birth. Why am I telling you? Because this is a very interesting idea, which is very hard to understand. The Targum Shivan. The Targum Shivan, when Talmai HaMelech took 70 Zekanim, he locked them in a room and made them translate the Torah, we have their translation. And the Mefarshim point out that it appears they made a mistake. That in their Sifrei Torah, it said, Uveha'atin. And they translated it into Greek, and the animals that were in the process of giving birth, which indicates that their Sefer Torah had the word Uveha'atin. How could that possibly, there's no answer to this question, how could it possibly be that the 72 Zekanim translated the word Uveha'atin to mean Uvatif, the animals were giving birth? That's the translation for the word Uveha'atin, not the word Uveha'atif. And because of that mistake, it became the custom to have a large pei soifis, not to make the same mistake that they made, which is very bizarre, very hard to understand, but opens up this concept that many of the large and small letters have been changed because we should not make a mistake between reading a different letter. Okay, I think I got everything. Just make sure I got just one only thing important I need to tell you. No, this is all good. Okay, we'll do one quick. The Adbash, we need to change the Vav with the Pei, and the Adbash. On Shabbos, David b'shanoisayis tamol lefnei Amelech vayagoshei. David Amelech by Moav, he made believe he lost his mind, and he said Shira. that we said it on Shabbos. And what is one pasuk that's missing? What pasuk is that? Vav. Why is Vav missing? So we discussed this because Vav is the Ois of Emes. Vav is Yashar. Emes is Yashar. There is no Vav. Since the whole thing was a lie, David be feigned insanity. So there's no Vav because everything was Sheker. But we make up. We have to have 22 psukim. We have a 2 psukim for the letter Pei. So why was the letter Pei the supplement? Why was it the exchange? Because in the At Bash, the Pei is exchanged for the Vav. So that's why we use that. Okay, so that pretty much. Let me just make sure. Let me think of everything over here. Okay, 8 is Gevura. You find that okay. All right. It's used in different every time in Tanakh and Chazal where they want to show Bar Kokhva, there 80,000 soldiers were killed. Anytime you find war, Shimon Shetach, he killed 80 witches. Anytime you find an expression where a Tano or in a Tanakh, and other examples, where there was a mice of Givura, of enormous power and strength, it's always expressed in the number of multiples of 80, because 80 represents the Koyach of Givura. Okay? May you have a day of Givura.